I believe many of you know my cousin Mitchell Dean. We've had a conversation over the past week or two that in all the schools that we go into with FCA, and I even see in myself in student ministry, I see a lot of times we're not seeing the fruit of the labor. And I don't necessarily mean that, like, I'm expecting to constantly see the fruit tangibly. I know Paul said, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. I understand that there's portions of the what we see in the fruit of the ministry that sometimes we see right now, sometimes we don't see until later down the road, and sometimes we never actually get to visibly see the fruit of the labor. And honestly, it wasn't really the main focus of what we were talking about, but what we were more on the aspect of when we see people come to Christ and we see the church gather together constantly. When you look out in the community, we're not really putting much of a dent on the things that are going on around us. Like, you would think as often as we gather and as often as we come together, all of the evangelistic opportunities that take place, you would think we would see more taking place in a community from the church gathering together and making a dent in it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's not happening, but to the extent of how many times we're meeting, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Something's mixed up here. As if you look at in John chapter 3, we see a story about a man named Nicodemus, and it's the story that leads up to the most popular verse probably in history, right? The most popular verse that probably everybody in this room could quote right now, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we use that verse and we quote that verse, and so many times, it's not that we take it out of context, but a lot of times we miss the context of what he's talking about and why he got there. But there's this dude named Nicodemus that's a whole lot like us. That's a whole lot like us and where we are today. In John chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old?'" That really is a question that makes a whole lot of sense to me. We'll get to that later on. "Nicodemus said, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In this story, we see this man named Nicodemus come to Jesus in the middle of the night. This man named Nicodemus was an important guy. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an influencer. He was someone who was very intelligent. He was literally teaching the young men who were growing up. He was teaching them all about the Old Testament, all about the prophets and what God has done. He was one of those men that you recognized him when you saw him. He was, for lack of better terms, he was somewhat famous. Like you knew who Nicodemus was. In a sense, he represented those who were the highest and the best of their social class, if you will. He was somewhat people what people felt like he was unattainable. Like you couldn't quite get to be that high. He was someone that was well known. So this man who everyone knew who he was, they knew that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah that he was claiming to be. Yet in John chapter 2, you see, he saw something different about Jesus. He didn't think quite like the rest of them. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. What's really is profound to me is when you read the scripture, the smallest little things will have such a big impact when you're studying his word. It says that he comes to him by night. There's got to be some form of significance to that, right? And so I had my thought, right? I had what I believed what it was, and then I go and look at what do the old dead guys think about why he was coming to him at night. And what many of the scholars believe is some said that maybe he was a bit timid, or perhaps he wanted to have this uninterrupted interview with Jesus. He wanted to have a time completely alone with Jesus, because if you read through the scripture, you see Jesus constantly was getting off by himself, and the crowd was like, where's Jesus? And they would go find him, and they would be like, all right, talk to us, or heal us, or whatever. And so constantly, Jesus was getting by himself, and the crowds would just flock to him. So maybe it was that he wanted to have some uninterrupted time with Jesus. Sorry. Some of the scholars believe that he was scared of his colleagues finding out that would not bode well for him. That would not be a good thing for him if the other Pharisees saw him with Jesus. Some believe that it was just the only way for him to meet Jesus, because Jesus was constantly moving and he was constantly on the go. So that's the only way to meet. But I don't necessarily know what the right answer is to as to why he met with Jesus at night. I'm sure it's probably a combination of some of these things. All of these things are true in and of themselves. Like I would imagine that it wasn't good for him, so he probably was a little bit scared to go meet Jesus. But the importance here is that he went. That he went at night. That he went to go find Jesus. Constantly through the scripture, we find people coming to Jesus and wanting something from him. You see them coming up and touching his garment because they want to be healed. The centurion guy who had the guards and the army, he comes to Jesus like, hey, I need you to come back to my house so you can heal my son. Like there was constantly people coming up to Jesus asking him to do something for him. But Nicodemus had a little bit different plan in mind. He goes to Jesus for whatever the reason. He believed Jesus was who he said he was. He believed that Jesus was really something to be sought after. He goes to him in the dead of night. Notice in verse 2, he called him Rabbi. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He said, listen, it's obvious that God has his hand on you, because there's no possible way for you to do the things that you've been doing without him. Nicodemus was a very smart man. He knew the scriptures. He knew that Jesus claiming to be the Messiah probably most likely blasphemy, because it wasn't something that they were new to them. It wasn't something that was new to these guys of people claiming to be the Messiah. But he recognized there was something a little bit different about him. And so he comes to him and calls him rabbi. He calls him teacher. He has the right theology. If the story ends there, it doesn't look good for Nicodemus, because right theology don't do nothing for you. If it stays there. He comes to him at night and he says all the right things. He calls him teacher. Look at verse 3. Jesus answers to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time through his mother's womb and be born?" He was genuinely seeking answers from Jesus. He goes and asks him, how can this be? You're telling me I got to be born again? How does this work? What does this look like? How can this possibly be true? How many times have you been reading the scripture, not understood what it said, and been like, that's hard. Flip the page. Maybe I'll start in a different book. It's easy for us to go through the motions of living for Jesus by just coming to church each and every week, and for radical, woohoo, we'll come on Wednesday night too. Get at me. He is seeking the understanding of what he believes. Right? What he believes is great until he follows up with it. He sought the understanding. How can this be? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Why do you marvel at what I said, that you must be born again?" Verse 9, Nicodemus says, "How can these things be? How can these things be? This doesn't make sense to me still." Notice what happens here is the relationship with Jesus begins here. It's no longer, "I believe you are who you say you are, and I'm good with that." He then confronts Jesus, asks him the question. Jesus explains that. He's like, "Man, how can these things be? I still don't understand." I don't know if you've spent any time studying God's word, you've felt like that before. "I still don't get this. It still doesn't make sense to me. I still don't know what this is telling me. I still don't know what I believe about this." Spending time with Jesus and studying God's word is so much more than saying, "I understand what this means," and we throw it out. I could tell you the gospel 15 different ways, and I was lost on my way to hell. There's countless sermons I've listened to of my dad preach, of the guys around me preaching. I always say when I was in fourth grade, my dad got saved, and then I became a drug addict. Drug to church every time the doors were open. Like every time there was something going on at the church, I was there. And I knew a whole lot about Jesus. But knowing about it didn't really do nothing for me. If we look at Nicodemus and he's seeking out the answers, and that's great, and we need to continue to do that. I've heard many pastors say, I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I've heard many pastors say that Nicodemus is asking the wrong questions. And I'm sure that he is. But put yourself in Nicodemus' shoes. And Jesus says, "You got to be born again." What question are you asking? I'm asking the same one. Like, explain this to me, bro. Like, I don't understand what this is saying. How am I going to go back in my mother's womb? What do you mean? Seeking Jesus is the beginning of this relationship that doesn't take place just with theology. With theology alone, it doesn't do anything for it. If you don't have the right theology, you're starting off on the wrong track. Like, don't get me wrong. But theology alone doesn't help you without the relationship. Watch verse 10. Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" He said, "Listen, you're supposed to know more than everybody else. You're supposed to be up here on this level. How do you not understand these things?" You ever felt that way? Like, you reading the scripture and you're like, "I just don't understand how this happens." I ain't gonna lie, I'm struggling this morning. Tuesday mornings, I go to the Way Church, which is my dad's church, and me and my dad and Mitchell Dean and Dennis Green, who's the student pastor there at the Way, We have what we call Greek. It started out us trying to learn the Greek language. That lasted like two times, and now it's pretty much Bible study, but we still call it Greek, because why not? So we go and we meet each and every week, and constantly they're opening up God's Word, and they're telling us, this is what the Lord showed me. Connecting scriptures that it's like, how'd you do that? The Holy Spirit always talked to me like that. Like, I want that too. If you've ever spent any time with Jesus, you've experienced something like that where you read the scripture. You ever read a scripture and then the pastor preach on it that Sunday? And you're like, yeah, I didn't get that. I feel like I got the same spirit living in me. That's what you always say. But I didn't get that when I read it. Like, there's constantly, when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, what's happening here? This is Nicodemus. He's here having the conversation. A part of our problem is we stop the conversation. Our culture has created it us to be okay with, I don't know, and we walk away like it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. We need to know what this is telling us. We need to know what this is saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. We speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. What is it that you're testifying to? What is it that you're speaking of? Is it Jesus? Raise your hand if you know somebody that does CrossFit. Somebody does CrossFit, they're going to tell you. I'm just with you. Like, if you know somebody that does CrossFit, they're going to tell you that they do CrossFit. It's just a thing. I don't understand it, but it's a thing. And if you are one of those people, stop. Just go work out and be skinny and let it be, all right? You ain't got to tell everybody about how much CrossFit you go to. Anyway. He says, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. You know why those people talk about CrossFit so much? They like it. They enjoy it. We speak what we know and bear witness to what you have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. Sometimes the things that we're telling the world, it has nothing to do with Jesus. You want to know why? Because we're not spending any time with him. We go to church on Sunday, we go to church on Wednesday, and we're like, cool, filled up. That's like this. Like, you take some glitter, that ain't really going to work, but you take a mess, some paper, tear it up in little pieces, throw it down on the ground, go grab the vacuum cleaner, hold the plug in your hand, and run over it. Ain't nothing going to happen. Like, until you plug that plug into the outlet, then the things that I don't understand, how this electricity now creates this motor to start doing this, and the next thing you know, all the stuff ain't on the ground no more, it's in this little container. Blows my mind how things like that happen. How a phone works don't make no sense to me. But I know I can call somebody when I need to, I can text them if I need to. But like, we don't tap into the source. Right? We go around running the vacuum over nothing, holding the plug like, I don't know why this ain't working. That's what happens when you're wondering, why ain't I getting this? Why ain't the Lord showing this to me? Why ain't I hearing that? When's the last time you read the Bible? Surely not rocket science. There's things that are really difficult in this word that is like, I read it and I'm like, Liz, I need some help. I don't know what this is saying. There are things in here, right? But you have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You can read this and God speaks to you. Verse 12, he says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. We understand this when we share the gospel. You got to put John 3:16 in there. You can put John 3:16 in there about four different times. That God so loved the world. He loved you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. Having an understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for us is great. But if we're not doing anything with that, it's useless. It's like having the cure to cancer and not giving it to the people that you know and love that have cancer. Listen, I'm just going to hold on to this. It doesn't make any sense. What we see in our world today is people claiming to be Christians, feeling as if it's okay and it's good enough to just do good things, to go to church. You have these lists of things I need to quit doing. I need to quit cussing so much, quit drinking so much, quit doing this so much. Whatever those list of things you might have. I need to stop these things and, man, I'm going to be good to go. Man, what needs to happen is as a body of believers here and across this entire nation, across the world, we need to fall in love with God's word. We need to fall in love with God's word. I want you to do something real quick. Everybody close your eyes for me. I want you to think of someone in your life. Might be a friend, family member, loved one, somebody you can't stand. I want you to think of somebody in your life that you know without a shadow of a doubt, they do not love the Lord. They're not a believer. Might be a great person, but they're not a believer. They've never given their lives to Jesus. Now you got somebody on your mind that when you leave, you got to tell somebody the gospel. Gotcha. When you leave here, there's somebody that's on your mind now that when you walk out of here, there is an action step that I have to have a meeting, I have to have a conversation with somebody because I know they don't know the gospel. I want you to do this for me. I want you to raise your hand if you would say that you love the Lord, you have given your life to Jesus, you have surrendered your life to him, and you love Jesus. Raise your hand if that is true of your life. And not in this, like, raise your hand. Like, let me see it. All right, cool, you can put them down. Raise your hand if you have regularly attended church over the past 5 weeks. Okay. Raise your hand if you have studied God's word at least 30 minutes every day in the past 5 weeks. Okay. Raise your hand if you have shared the gospel with at least one person in the last 5 weeks. I'll be real with you. Them last two, that ain't good. For as many people in here that raise their hand and say, "Y'all love the Lord, I love Jesus, we singing songs, gone, gone, all my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah, but I must keep it to myself. I ain't gonna tell nobody else about it." How many of you, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand because I know everybody going to raise your hand. How many of you can say you watched at least 30 minutes of TV in the last 5 weeks? Everybody's hand would be up. Like, I know. Like, we spend our time doing things that we enjoy. Man, cut the TV off 30 minutes early. 30 minutes early. Cut the TV off and spend some time with Jesus. You know what? I know y'all got smart TVs. Download Right Now Media, go get you a password, and watch 30 minutes of a Bible study. Spend time with Jesus outside of your church activity. I don't talk to adults a whole lot about this, but I talk to young people all the time, and they always say, "I don't share my faith because I don't know enough, or I feel like I might stumble, or what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to?" There's a reason you don't know it. Because we're not spending enough time in his word. The way God speaks to us, yes. God speaks to us through other people, through music. The Holy Spirit just give you a direction. You'd be riding down the road, you see a billboard, like, man, that was the Lord. Like, God speaks to us in many different ways. But the mainstay of how he has spoken to us since he wrote it is through his word. Yet we neglect it more than any other thing. It is great and awesome for us to come together and worship and sing songs and have this feeling like, man, this is good stuff. Man, I love you, Jesus. Man, if we walk out here and there's no difference in our lives, then we've wasted an hour of our time. Or two if you went to a connect group. Dig it in there. The good thing about today is I've left you with no excuse. Somebody came to your mind. Mitchell did this not too long ago, and I wasn't actively engaging I wasn't participating in the experiment, if you will. And I was sitting over there. I've been told I don't post enough on social media when we do our FCA stuff. So I'd taken a picture, and I was trying to get it all right and get the filter, all that kind of stuff. As he's going through all this, dude's name popped in my head. I was like, well, I guess now I got to go tell him about Jesus, right? Like, it's one of those things. I wasn't even necessarily trying to. So those of you that practiced it and did it, and or those of you that didn't, now somebody's in your mind, and you have to go share Jesus with them. Right? Because it's not Luke convicting you. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave you that person. Put that person on your mind. So it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are, if you've been walking with him for a long time or if you're a brand new Christian. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, there was only a few of you that did raise your hand to say you've studied God's word for at least 30 minutes. Some of you got more time on your hands. You can bump that up. Maybe that's the direction for you as you leave here is, you know what, if I can be real with myself, yes, I spend 30 minutes. Yes, I spend a good amount of time studying God's word. But you know what, I could always do more. I could cut back on something else and I can spend more time with him. Some of you, it's just simply, you got to start. Because your time with Jesus is simply in this room. No matter where you are in your walk, if you are a believer, if you have given your life to Jesus, the application, your marching orders when you walk out of here is to begin to share Jesus with those that are around you. That the things you speak of would be of Jesus. That your testimony would be a testimony of Christ. God, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to gather here in your name. Lord, I thank you that we still have that ability in this country. Lord, the freedoms that we have, yet we neglect it so often. God, I pray that as we leave this place, Lord, there would be a fire lit in us. God, to go and share of what you've done in our walk. God, what you've done in our lives. God, I pray that our testimony, God, would be glorifying and edifying to your kingdom. God, as I remember watching film after the games that I played in football, I remembered those plays that came up that I was hoping coach would just move right on past. God, as you look back at the film of our life, God, I pray what we would see. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we fall. But God, it would be a life that gives glory and honor to your name. Lord, that we would take advantage of the time that we have here on this earth. Lord, as we have seen in recent months, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your social status. God, I pray that we wouldn't be okay with living mediocre. That we wouldn't be okay with just going through the motions of saying, I'm a believer. I go to church. God, let people begin to say that about us. Oh, here goes Luke. I know he's about to tell me something about Jesus. I know he's going to tell me what God's been doing in his life. God, I pray that would be our testimony. That would be what people think of us. God, I pray that as we have this time right now, God, to God, to respond to the message that you have given us this morning. God, I pray that there would be no distractions. Lord, you would allow us to get real with you. God, you would allow us to listen to your leading. And Lord, if we need to come and lay things down at the altar, we would do so. God, if we need to pray for that person that we need to share the gospel with and pray that you would begin to open those doors, God, I pray that you would do that now. Lord, I love you. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name.